Good afternoon, House Committee, Judiciary Committee. I'm kind of nervous up here. This isn't the position I'm typically in. For those of you that are not, that don't know me, I'm a teacher in Manhattan. I'm also the mayor for the Manhattan, City of Manhattan, and we have a 5:30 meeting I hope to get back to, but this is extremely important to me, and that's why I'm here this afternoon. So like I said, I'm a teacher and mayor, but today I stand before you in testimony in support of HB 2306 as a survivor of sexual abuse from the ages of 10 to 16. In my case, the abuse began when I lived in Virginia in 1975 and continued when we moved to Ohio. I could not file criminal charges in the state of Ohio due to statute of limitations. And in Virginia, however, I was able to file charges since they didn't have statute of limitations. At the age of 54, that's my age right now, even though I did not have any physical evidence, I had recorded messages and emails that realized an indictment, a conviction, and incarceration of my perpetrator. But the burden of proof was on me, the victim. I did not file charges until I was 53 in 2018, nearly 40 years after the abuse began. Kansas is on the right side of the law, having no statute of limitations for criminal sexual abuse, and it should do the same thing for civil suits. Sexual abuse is about power, and in cases of sexual abuse, it is usually someone, as mentioned previously, you trust. That person is often trusted not only by you, but your family members and community members. They are often the ones that are giving donations to nonprofits and churches and schools, or on your school board, city council, anywhere they need to be as leadership roles. It makes it harder for a child to speak up. When is it an appropriate time for an adult to speak up and hold this trusted person accountable? There isn't a good time. So why did I wait till I was 53? It took me a long time before I felt I had the energy and the support system to even come forward to talk about it. And even though my perpetrator was held accountable at the age of 75, there's this feeling inside me that I'm doing something selfish by seeking accountability. Why am I putting an old man in jail? All everybody saw around me, my mother, my relatives, was an old man, and he was the victim, and I was the one who was pressing charges, not the child that was sexually abused. But I have no regrets about my decision or my chosen path, because the law gave me an option. It was my decision, and at my age, it did not matter how many years it took me to get there, but I found my way there. Sexual abuse is about power. The perpetrator has the power to commission the crime, and the victim has the power to file charges. Having no statute of limitations provides the survivor a chance to seek justice. Survivors should have the right to seek justice in the manner they see fit. For some, it might be criminal. For some, it might be civil. The perpetrator should never be at ease with his or her crime just because the statute of limitations is up. Sexual abuse does not have physical scars. The scars are emotional, traumatic, and long-lasting and harder to prove. I've moved on with my life without anybody knowing. As I was educating children in our schools, as I was leading our city in decisions about budget and other boring matters, I was just a normal, typical, everyday person. But men with power have the upper hand in some of these instances, such as sexual abuse. And I refer to men because the perpetrator in my life was a man. We need to put the power back into the hands of the real victims, children. False accusations of child abuse or sexual abuse represent a very small portion of all allegations. Out of all sexual assault allegations, less than 1% end up in time served as a perpetrator. The system does not empower victims to come forward, And with all the barriers, few victims actually seek or actually receive the justice they deserve. If child sexual abuse cases have no statute of limitations, there's no reason for civil cases to have them either. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of to remove statute of limitations? The burden falls on the victim anyway. What are we afraid of? Victims need to have the power to file charges as and when they see fit and when they are ready. Perpetrators should be held accountable no matter how long they've committed the crimes, how long ago they've committed the crimes. The heinous nature of the crime makes it such that the victim will never forget it. It is only just that the perpetrator should be held accountable by paying the price for such a crime. As a teacher, as an elected official, as a mom, my primary job is to keep our children protected. You cannot forget that you are protecting a child that has been sexually abused, no matter how long it takes for them to find their voice. You are lending a hand and providing a path forward to a child that no one protected when they were young and when they needed it the most. You are removing a barrier. You are helping that child that has manifested into him or herself into an adult body. By removing the statute of limitations for civil suits, you will be serving and telling the world that the state of Kansas respects our children and they are protected by the laws regardless of when they find their voice to speak up. Oftentimes, when a victim comes, and we sometimes think there's going to be a flood of victims that are going to file these suits, and that's not the case. They have more to lose than you realize. As you go forward making your decision, we need to keep, as far as statute of limitations, that this is about child sexual abuse. Not adults, not kinds of all burglar systems or anything of that sort. These children that are now adults takes a long time to come forward. And I can't think of anything that would be more meaningful than removing a barrier. You don't have to do anything else except remove the barrier. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak to you this afternoon.